6, number 9, second chapter, first canto. All occupational engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. Furthermore, according to sages, one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We've already discussed that pure devotional service to the Lord is automatically followed by perfect knowledge and detachment from material existence. But there are others who consider that all kinds of different occupational engagements, including those of religion, are meant for material gain. The general tendency of any ordinary man in any part of the world is to gain some material profit in exchange for religious or any other occupational service. Even in the Vedic literatures, for all sorts of religious performances, an allurement of material gain is offered, and most people are attached to such allurements or blessings of religiosity. Why are such so-called men of religion allured by material gain? Because material gain can enable one to fulfill desires, which in turn satisfies sense gratification. This cycle of occupational engagement includes so-called religiosity, followed by material gain, and material gain followed by fulfillment of desires. Such sense gratification is the general way for all sorts of fully occupied men. But in the statement of Sutta Goswami, as per the verdict of the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is nullified by the present shloka. One should not engage himself in any sort of occupational service for material gain only, nor should material gain be utilized for sense gratification. How material gain should be utilized is described as follows. Om Jnana Timirangasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhisam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dharati Swaparantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Tirtha Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Sha Shri Rupam Sajjatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sabarutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Sha Pancha Kopa Trivyascha Kripa Sindhu Vivacha Pajitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namah. Alright, nice to be back here. And this temple always has a preaching spirit, so we always like to come here, and sometimes we see some temples that seems to be weaker. Krishna here has provided everything as far as the perfect location. People automatically come to the, easy to come to the temple and easy to go out and find all the conditioned souls who are looking for Krishna. This very important verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. All occupational duties are ultimately meant for the ultimate gain. Ultimate gain is Krishna Prema, is not just liberation. This sloka Prabhupada doesn't quote in the purport, but he's not giving the Sanskrit. Dharma, Kama, how did it go? Moksha. When we work for some religious purpose and then get some Dharma, Artha, Kama, and then we get some money, Artha. Artha means, like, anartha means unnecessary things. So material world, Artha is money, some sort of game, food. In natural previous society, it wasn't necessarily money, but someone would get some food, some cloth. People didn't have, so they didn't have, what do we call it now? Economic recessions and stuff. Yeah. they had maybe some hard time if it was a drought, things like that, by nature's arrangement, but those things are always temporary. And even in Vedic times when the king would tax everybody, they would also consider, you know, the persons if there was some bad time. They wouldn't tax as much. The government, Prabhupada said one place that people would be wondering where the government is getting so much, because the king would be providing so much for the citizens that the taxation never seemed very heavy. So people thought, how can this be? Nowadays, usually we find people, like in Nigeria, for instance, I just came from there, and it's a very good example of the opposite of all Vedic culture. So basically, you know, the basic things that most countries have, even very poor countries nowadays, and Nigeria is a country with natural resources that compare to any place, or even more than any other country, as far as land, opulent land, forest, water, oil, you know, all kinds of jewels and minerals, and lots of people. But electricity is provided about maximum 20% of the time, except in the city where all the government people live. The roads are not kept up at all. Crime is rampant. Taxes are pretty heavy, but they don't get anything. And they just have a sign on the road that says, like, pay your taxes. Things like that. And on the water pipes, it says, don't tap into the water, don't steal the water. Even electricity is prepaid, because they didn't trust anybody. And so many people have no work, and if they do, they don't get paid very much. And then some people are very, very rich, but they just live very opulent. They can afford generators. And the many, many, many churches, we've never seen so many churches. And most of them are advertising prosperity. If you go to this church, you let this guy pray for you, you'll get very rich, and then you can have whatever sense gratification you're desiring. And so Bhagavatam is, from the very beginning, throwing out a religion that is materially motivated. That's in the second verse, right? How's that verse go? Projitakaitavotra. Nirmat saranam satam. It's kicking out religion and religious activities that are materially motivated. That, in other words, that are doing what this says, that are all occupational engagement, this says, is meant for the ultimate gain. Whatever work anyone does, that's varnashram, that's how society is supposed to be arranged. That no matter what your social position is, whatever your ashram and your varna, that somehow or other it's all can help you to advance towards the ultimate gain, which is Krishna consciousness. And one who is... this is very clear. This is a very important verse to always remember. It should not be performed for material gain. But most, even Buddhism in Asia, they're promoting Buddhism for material gain. Buddha certainly didn't promote that, right? But Kali Yuga, everywhere it's like that, dude. So then one who is not one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service, which would be devotional service, you know, religious teaching, it should never be used for sense gratification, to cultivate sense gratification. But we find so many in the name of religion, it's being promoted that you can, God wants you to be rich. I saw a book in the airport. God wants you to be rich. Of course, Krishna, my mother used to tell me, God wants you to enjoy. He wants you to be happy. But they don't, that's true. It's natural to be happy. But what kind of happiness is another thing. Their idea of happiness is sometimes sinful, mostly some sort of sinful activity. Like just, you know, getting rich, having luxury, luxurious life. So it's total opposite of Bhagavatam. But it's not that a devotee has to be poor and, you know, living, you know, like homeless in the street. And we see many of those men here. They're renounced in some sense. They don't care for house or social position, right? Nice clothes. Prabhupada, he saw one morning we were walking and there was one hippie on the beach in L.A. and he was just waking up. It was 6:30 in the morning or something. Prabhupada said, "Oh, look at him." He's given up everything. And then he laughed. He said, "Except sex and drugs." Not really renounced, but as far as social, you know, normal things that people are after, they get frustrated because they can't get everything they want. They have so many desires and they can't get them, so then they just give up everything and live like that, an intoxicated, you know, condition, so they can think that, you know, everything is alright. They can't perceive their miserable condition. So we are promoting real happiness, freedom from being controlled by sense desires, which are driving people crazy, driving people mad after sense gratification. So either they work really hard, many people working themselves to death, and so everywhere we see stress, you know, how to relieve stress, people are, you know, most of the sicknesses, the doctor would say, is stress related. People, they want, because of the stress, even if they're not working so hard, but they want things that they can't get, then that's also stressful. And then they're losing things that they like, and now with all this you know, anxiety over the economy and terrorism and all these things. But it's Kali Yuga, and we need to study Srimad Bhagavatam. There's a very nice chapter 12 or chapter 3 of the 12th canto, Symptoms of the Kali Yuga. It's not a very long chapter, but if you read that, you'll see that it covers everything that's in the CNN or the BBC all the time. It not only presents it, but it explains, you know, what's behind all this. And what's behind it is that they're working for sense gratification, and they're misusing, you know, religion in the name of sense gratification. Although it's better, if you're going to pray for sense gratification, to pray to God. But then it should be reasonable sense gratification. In the second canto, there's a long description of all the benefits we can get from different demigods. Anybody read that? There's a long list in the, I don't know which chapter, second canto. It ends with Akama, Sarvakamova. So, you know, it says like Indram Indriya Kama to Brahma Vartika, that if you want sense gratification, you worship Indra. He's the biggest sense gratifier. He's got all the heavenly girls. He's the biggest enjoyer. If you want power and influence, you can worship Lord Brahma. If you want good health, you can worship the horizon and the sunset or the sunrise or something. If you want to get wealthy, you can worship Kubera. And there's a long list, demigods. Then at the end it says, Akama Sarvakamo Va, Moksha Kamo Dadadi, Tidrena Bhakti Yogena, Yajeta Purusham. Whether you have all lusty desires, Sarvakama, or no lusty desires, Akama, or Moksha Kama, if you want liberation. But if one has good intelligence, then tivrena bhakti yogena, then he'll perform bhakti, tivra very strong bhakti fever, means like a lightning bolt, you know, very strong bhakti for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Forget worshipping all the demigods, even if you do have material that lusts your desires. Because by worshipping Krishna, one will get purified. But people are misleading. So in the name of religion, they're telling people that the purpose is to get rich. The purpose is to enjoy sense gratification too. Not even go to heaven anymore. Before, people worship the demigods, thinking they could go to the heavenly planets. But now they think it's heaven on earth, you know, if you're rich, if you have a nice family and a few extra outside engagements for sense gratification, and you have a good retirement fund, right? Then that's heaven. You made it. And people work and work, but not everyone can get that, but their karma is not such a thing. But becoming Krishna conscious, getting connected to Krishna, becoming spiritually happy, knowing we're not this body, knowing that, you know, we can go back to Krishna, that this is a temporary, whatever pleasure or pain we're experiencing in this material world is temporary. So someone who's very, very realized, they don't get excited about some kind of so-called success or pleasure, happiness, which will come automatically, or some kind of suffering. Don't get too miserable about it, because they know it's temporary. It's not the real condition. It's just something we have to deal with. And either one can be a challenge to practicing bhakti yoga. Sometimes, even by practicing bhakti yoga, we may get some material benefit. And live comfortably. You might become very popular. Someone's a very good preacher. They may become rich. Then that's a risk, right? Can make one think, I'm very great, become puffed up, and then they can fall down. Can think, well, now I've done my tapasya, now I can enjoy a little bit, right? Done enough. I've distributed enough books, you know. I distributed so many Bhagavad Gita's on Gita Jayanti, so I definitely go back to Godhead for that, right? So now I'll take it easy. The mind will come up with many, many things. So one has to be careful. If there's too much suffering, it can become difficult to practice sadhana. But we're always challenging. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, if you're happy or sad, chant the holy name. Hari Nama Bolo Dake, just chant. If you're in the forest, if you're a sannyasi, if you're in the grihastha, just chant. Whatever condition you're in, it's the same for everybody. So there's dharma, artha, kama, moksha, and those are the four. And then the fifth goal is prema pumartho mahani. Krishna prema. That is the real goal of the whole thing. And bhakti, as was given to us by Srila Prabhupada coming down in succession, makes it that all our activities are working in that direction. When we're working, in the temple community, then everything is for Krishna, everything's for Radharani Nishwara. Right? Radharani Nishwara? Everything is.
Yeah.
If he starts thinking I'm this Radharani Nishwara, you have to remember Das. Prabhupada named all of us Das because they stressed on Das every time. But the other name is, Krishna has many names, Das. So we want to promote genuine, spiritual knowledge. That's what all these books are about. And everybody wants it. But they don't know that, They're looking, they're out there looking. People are struggling, suffering. They're seeing all the headlines and the news, and nothing sounds very cheerful, right? But they don't think. Like Bombay, of course, it's terrible that this kind of thing is going on. But I don't know the statistics, but in those same days that last event was, so many abortions were performed in Bombay. much, much, much more. They don't want to even think about the numbers. And that's everywhere. That's also terrorism. But then somehow or other, they're thinking this is necessary. One time there was some sort of crisis where many people were killed, and Prabhupada commented that according to their, you know, the way they taught, that there's too many people and we have to kill babies, and they should be happy when there's a, you know, a tsunami or something that will help reduce the population. But they're not, and they shouldn't be, and they should understand the why these things are occurring more and more and more in the Kali Yuga. The natural disasters, which I guess war and all those things are part of that also, just part of the process of, you know, the material nature, hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, droughts, you know, what else do they have?
Epidemics.
Tsunamis, AIDS, you know, all kinds of epidemics, and pestilence, and so many things. It's increasing because demons, more demons are taking birth because they're making the planet an attractive place for the demons. Where everybody wants, you know, gambling, and everybody wants illicit sex, and everybody wants all these things. So they're making it an attractive place for more and more demons to take birth. And it's like when Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, even while they were in the womb, the whole universe was coming dark. You know, and then when they took birth, there was all kinds of hurricanes and earthquakes and volcanoes and all these things that happen when demons take birth. It was really bad. But now it's, maybe the demons aren't that big, but there's much more of them. So the news is always, these things are always happening. And one can get out from it by just taking shelter of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And people need to, you know, hear. And especially in modern days, this book distribution is definitely the essential process for giving people a chance. Very important thing is that people are meeting devotees one-on-one. That's a very, you know, a very special experience. Lava matra sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva shastra koi. Lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoy. That the association of devotees, sadhu sangha, even one moment, 11th of a moment, whatever a lava matra is, very short time. By our calculations, even that—that's the all scriptures declare that's perfection. Sarva siddhi hoy, all perfection. So when we go for Harinam, people get an association of devotees. They don't know that's what they're looking for. But even people who don't like it, they get it. But the people who appreciate it, they get real association. When we distribute books. So many people meet a devotee, maybe they touch a devotee, they see the face of a devotee, they hear the devotee speaking about Krishna, they touch the book. One time Prabhupada said if they even touch the book, they get so much benefit. We got very enlivened because much more people touched the book and didn't take it than did take it. Sometimes we're attached that, you know, if they don't take it, we get all upset. But Krishna is always pleased with our effort that we're just trying, so therefore it's good for us, but it's good for all anybody that contacts a devotee in any way in its beginning. And probably if they read just one page, they said if they read even one word or it does something in their life, it sets them on a new path. Some people be quickly they come, we've seen people come and join the temple right away. Some people take years, maybe even lifetimes, but something happened, they get started. We have one girl in Ghana, she was there from America, she was in the Peace Corps. And somehow she met devotees, and then she just started coming to temple like right away, just fanatically everything. You know, just chanting like crazy. But she must have been from the previous life, obviously, but, you know, she must have dropped out of it. So, and now she's so fanatic. Some people are like that. Some people come for their whole life. But they're always getting more and more progress. And so devotees, we want to give our association whatever we can also. When we go out, we're giving it, of course. When people come to temple, give association. Association of any devotee is very, very valuable. Give people a chance, so temples are for it. To give everyone a chance to engage in some kind of service. Even just seeing the deity, that's service for a neophyte, just to bow down, just to take some prasadam. So we have restaurants, we have food for life, and we have all these ways of giving association so that their work can become, you know, directed towards what it's meant for. We don't tell people, don't work, give up your job, you know. If somebody would do that and fully move into the temple, very good, but it's not that everyone can do that. But for those who, anyone can take up the practice of bhakti, they can take up the regulated principles, they can read Bhagavad Gita. They're so busy. I spent a lot of time in the airport yesterday, and I was feeling bad. I'm just one of them, but they're just running everywhere, and so much anxiety. And, you know, the businessmen are just, they're on the phone till the last minute, and, you know, they're just in total anxiety about their business and their money. And other people just to visit their family, which due to Kali Yuga is scattered all over the planet. You know, they have to borrow money to go for a few days to visit their, you know, brother or sister, their father, their mother, their people at Kali Yuga. They're just totally insane. And then they're worried about all the pollution, but some say it, you know, most of it comes from airplanes. So actually, and then they're eating meat, but scientifically, the worst part of all the global warming and everything, the biggest portion comes from the animal slaughtering business. You know, so someone told me now, even the government of Australia is promoting save the planet, be vegetarian. You know, they're very worried about their pristine environment in Australia. It's not so polluted there. You know, it's such a big place, but now they're worried, so they're telling people be vegetarian. So that's at least one, you know, spiritual principle. If people are vegetarian, at least, you know, that reduces a lot of the bad karma of the planet and might make them a little more able to understand, you know, Bhagavad Gita or devotees if they meet devotees. So we have a big job to do. There's never, there's always so many people that never heard of Krishna. This Madhavi that just joined in Africa, she's about 26 years old. She's from America. And she said she called her friends and said, you know, she joined Hare Krishna. And they said, oh, there's still Hare Krishna. We thought that was something in the 60s. Those are the 25-year-old people. That's what, you know, they heard of it, you know, it was like, you know, Janis Joplin and Jimi Hendrix and stuff, but it's not around anymore. You know, now there's just some records or something. They haven't seen devotees anymore. They don't know they're still around. Although there might be more devotees, in one sense, there's more devotees because of congregational devotees. But the mass of people, they're not hearing about Hare Krishna very much. So we have a great duty to think, you know, we want to make our own advancement, we want to control our mind, it's always disturbed. Make plans how to distribute the holy name, prophets, etc. Distributing books is the holy name. Make plans. Think about how are we going to do this? How are we going to get more and more people to distribute books all over the world? Now December's nice because I was thinking, why would I come to London in December and the weather is so nice? But because of the atmosphere of so many devotees all over the country are just distributing books like anything. Right? Few are distributing about 70 Bhagavad Gita a day in Wales, and one in Scotland. But it doesn't matter how many, everybody, Krishna likes the effort. if we're all just trying to please Krishna, I was thinking about that because we had a little competition that wasn't so healthy there in Africa. But if we're competing to please Krishna, then everybody wins. Everybody gets first prize. Like I had a friend in Hawaii that was a big karate teacher. He was also a therapist, and I went there one morning and he was having a tournament. And he has a lot of kids, like 6-5-year-old kids, and he called it all-win tournament. There was only first and second place. Every match was just everybody got either first or second place, and then everybody would feel really happy. Just little kids, you know. And then those kids were going out to win national tournaments. So if we're trying to please Krishna, if we're trying to be the best servant, if everybody's trying to be the best servant, then, you know, everybody will be in ecstasy. We can't lose. That if we're all thinking, I want to be the best servant because the other devotees are, you know, doing so much service for Krishna, and I just want to help them, and I want to please them, and I will please Krishna, then, you know, and anybody who comes around will want to join. And I think, well, this is a great place. Everybody's so happy here. Everybody's humble and nice. But in the basic material world, everyone's trying to be the supreme. Africa, it's just full of examples. And if you have it, so that one of the mobile phone carriers, it's called Glo. So they have big signboards all over. And their motto is, rule your world. You know, Bhagavad Gita, it says we come to the material world because we want to be the enjoyer, and we want to be the controller, and we want to be the proprietor. We want to be the king. So they somehow, these people, they know the mentality of people, and they exploit it for their business. I had a Glo telephone, but my world wasn't going the way I wanted it to. Maybe I should have complained to them. The airline didn't want to cooperate. You know, the health wasn't very good. Weather was terrible. You know, there wasn't nothing you could do about it. But still, every time I looked up in the car, rule your world. Rule your world. Get what you want. You know, make the connection, and that's what the materialists want. But only Krishna can be the supreme. He's a controller, but he controls things according to our desires. Because everyone's desires are totally crazy, you know, they don't realize, but they're getting what they deserve. So let us, you know, whatever condition the material world is in, just try to help people. We have the solution. We have this, like Vishwan Bharatapur says, his books are about freedom. Freedom from birth, death, disease, and old age. Also freedom from lust, greed, and anger. Most people are slaves to lust and greed and anger. They're controlled by those things, and therefore they're always suffering. But when someone is spiritually satisfied, then they can think straight, and they're not, you know, controlled by every whim of... I saw an advertisement in Japan once that said, we want to be controlled by the whims of fashion. In other words, you want to have enough money so that whatever fashion is there, you can immediately adopt it. You can get your hair cut and dyed and colored according to the latest fashion. You can wear the latest fashion clothes. You can have the latest fashion, you know, whatever it is. Rich people are, you know, living so luxuriously, it's ridiculous. And more people are going poor and in debt and suffering. And there's no solution except Krishna consciousness. It sounds, you know, there are so many things. But if anyone that really takes to Krishna consciousness, their life will be nice. They'll be happy in any condition. Spiritually happy in any material condition. Krishna will always take care. So any question, comment? I know everybody's anxious to get out and distribute books. We have a long list of from yesterday, right?
Yeah.
More participate in the room. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srimad London Ishwara Ki Jai. Prabhupada Book Distribution Marathon Ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi.
Salam Skavichandra Maharaj Ki Jai.
And of course, I just read a letter Prabhupada wrote to somebody, and he was thanking them for their book distribution somewhere in America or Europe. And he said, they can't do this in India. They say nobody will take the books, or you can't sell books in India. In his office time, they always said that. And now, in India, last year, 75% of the books distributed was in India, in the world. So things change.